Welcome everyone to Commissioner's Court this morning. As we begin, is there someone who would volunteer to come forward and do our invocation and lead us in our pledges? Chief? Let's all stand together, please, if we would.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful day. We thank you for the privilege of being as together here to represent the citizens of this county, Lord. We pray that the decisions today will be made to be the right decisions for the betterment of government, Lord. I ask you to be with each one traveling today. Keep the guardian angels with them as we go through our travels. In Christ's name, we ask for first responders all over the country to be protected, Father. In Christ's name, for us,
amen. Amen. Thank you. Our pledges.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right, thank you. You may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present today on the court. Do I have a motion to approve the court agenda today?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. At this time in our agenda, we give opportunity to our citizens to come and to address issues that are either on our open or our consent agenda. Only thing we ask is that you take, it's a 3-minute time limit on that. We don't interact because it is not noticed conversation. And if you want to bring something up to the dais, please get permission before you do. Is there anyone who would like to come forward and speak? All right. If there is none, then let's move forward. Our county clerk, consider and approve the Commissioner's Court minutes from regular session dated January 25th, 22.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Our consent agenda. Do we have any modifications to the consent agenda that we want to bring up?
Move on consent.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Let's move on to our open agenda. Our elections. Susie. Susie, are we having fun yet? Speak right in the mic. Yeah. Is it on?
Can you hear me? Okay. Please consider and approve the changes to Election Day polling locations.
Move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Susie. All right. Animal shelter. Mark and Aaron. You guys both going to come. You're going to be the cheer. You're going to cheer them on from the back.
Okay? Yeah. Good morning.
See you, Aaron.
So.
I just want to kind of give you an update of some things. I guess the first thing I'll start with is our incinerator, which I think some of you have seen. It is in. However, we've had many, many delays, and so it is not working yet. Hopefully, in the next couple of months, that will be operational. One of the other things we wanted to ask about is, and kind of get a jump on this, was the ILAs and what direction you guys wanted to go with those for the city jurisdictions that are that we've been serving.
Yes.
So I don't know if you guys want to.
In my opinion, we need to be looking at, as a court, services that we provide to municipalities, not just animal shelter, but all services that we provide, should there be fees for those services and what they would be. And we need to address that before we get to the budget hearings. That way we give the cities plenty of time to prepare their budgets as well.
More discussion on that?
A lot of jurisdictions add in. So when we looked at that previously, too, you know, a lot of jurisdictions add in, you know, a percentage or a fee, too, for capital as well. And I know that's something that I've brought up, I think, to most all of you, is that a new shelter is something that is greatly needed. Capacity is a huge, huge issue. And as the county is growing and growing and growing, that's going to become more and more of an issue.
You've previously recommended some numbers, but as we do, as the commissioner says, we approach the budget.
Yep.
Please get with us so that we can factor whatever we need to into that, assuming that we would all agree at this point we're still waiting on.
Yeah, the last time that we had talked about it, and it was towards budget, I think we were past the city's times for their budgets. So I think that was one of the reasons why I wanted to see where, you know, how you guys wanted to go about this so that we can make sure we get it in time for their budgets and things.
You've been working with the county attorney's office on what an ILA would look like, and or Amy, is there someone y'all can direct him to work with?
Yeah, we've worked with them on the, like, the legalities of any kind of ILA. What we don't know is just the actual, the terms, which are business terms.
Well, and it'd be uniform for all municipalities, so right. they'd pay the same.
So the cost and things like that, I think Aaron and the budget officer will go through and see if we can bring something back to the court as a recommendation.
Depending upon the city's fiscal year, I mean, we're going to need to move here somewhat here in the near future.
Yep.
So if you'd get that information together, if I may make a recommendation,
get
everything we need to do and get with the attorney.
The last time we talked about doing it, you know, call versus animal cost and doing it by a percentage. So a lot of the ILAs that we've seen from other counties or other jurisdictions have been by percentage of population. So they did it that way because it's easy to split, to have a hard number. So just kind of having a direction of what you guys think is the best direction as far as cost, how you want to do that. We can figure those. We just want to make sure we have the right direction from you guys. So if percentage of population, if you want to do it that way, we can get those numbers.
Yeah, I'm currently working with the shelter and spending some time down there. If you guys would give me the opportunity to pursue that with him and then bring it back to the court. Can we do that?
I nominate you to be...
There you go. How's the animal shelter operating right now?
So we had our distemper struggles, and that was a big deal for us, and so we're trying to continually monitor that and keep that under control. It's going to be a very big challenge, as I said, with the capacity. That's our biggest issue right now, and it's going to continue to be our biggest issue. And so we are still operating under the appointments. The appointments are not going far out. They're within a day or two, which has been much better than any other organization that I've seen in the area that are also doing appointments. That has actually helped us disease-wise. It has helped us process-wise. Before we would have, you know, dozens of animals in the receiving room, which would make it dangerous, and it would also make it to where disease control was impossible. So that's really kind of helped our process as well, as far as spreading out through the day of the animals coming in versus coming in all at one time.
Are you accepting animals now?
Yes. Yeah, we have been.
They have to be on a appointment basis?
We're doing an appointment. Obviously, there are circumstances that are you kind of go outside those things. Obviously, the animal's injured, it's dangerous, or any of those things. You know, the animal control officers are picking those up as they need to be.
Can anybody bring an animal up there if they make an appointment?
Yes.
Do they have to? I mean, they have to make an appointment.
Yeah, we're having to make an appointment. Like I said, it's before it would just stack up throughout the day, and we would have dozens of animals in the receiving. And so this has kind of helped take that process throughout the day so that the animals flow in through the day rather than stack up all in the later part of the day. Because before, typically, you know, we'd have dozens back there and we'd have staff staying overtime and everything else just because there were so many that came in without having an appointment or out having a, you know, any process to it.
Plus, it gives you the opportunity to walk through alternatives with these people when you're on
correct.
The phone with them.
Yeah.
As opposed to just bringing them in, give them ideas and places to go.
Correct. We get a lot of people who just don't, you know, I don't know if they just don't realize or don't, you know what the process, you know, shelters are and things like that. And they think, you know, maybe this isn't the best home for this pet or something like that. And it could be something simple that we really can help and educate them on and ends up for them to keep their pet.
How many animals are there right now?
We only have around 200, but like I said, capacity and the disease control has been a big thing for us. If you look at the dog runs, we only have 180. And predominantly what we have right now are dogs that fill those runs. And so most of those runs are full at the moment. Before we would double kennel and things like that with distemper that had to stop. Obviously, when you have mixed populations of dogs and you're doubling them up and things like that, controlling disease is near impossible. And so that's why the vaccination part of it and getting them into single kennels is very, very important.
Let me just ask you this. If I call for a stray dog, mm-hmm. am I going to be told that I need to catch that dog, vaccinate that dog, and hold him for 2 weeks before I can bring him in?
So we are asking people to do that, but in all of those situations where the people call in, we do send an animal control officer out so they can go out, see the situation, see what's going on, talk with the people, and find out what the best solution is. So they are still going out to decide whether that is a pathway for that animal or it's not. Because sometimes it's not. you know, they don't have a fenced yard or they don't have certain things. But there are times where people call in and the animal's been there for, you know, say a month, 2 months. You know, it's just finally called, it's been here, and they don't mind it staying out, you know, hanging out for another couple of weeks while we do the first one, get the booster and get it picked up.
Who does the vaccination, though?
The animal control officer does.
So when they come, they will come out and do that?
Yes. They'll scan it for microchip, check for ID, you know. Sometimes if they work that area, too, they might just know, oh, hey, I've dealt with this dog. It lives down here. And they're able to get it back home and deal with that owner. But they are going out and making that assessment and finding out, you know, the lay of the land, kind of what things are as they are with that person, and what the history is and what's going on, and make the best decision of what to do from there. Because there are certain situations where, obviously, they have to pick it up.
So, Aaron, kind of to tag on Commissioner Riley's question, and Evan, I might need you to make sure we get all of the questions asked to Aaron during this presentation, because we really asked for this to be on here because for some reason we've received a lot of calls about animal services. And I just have a problem with the fact that you and your team provide a service to the county, and you work for all of the people in the county. Sure. And it's not acceptable, in my opinion, for you to tell anybody that they got to keep a dog for 2 weeks that they have found. I don't think that works. That is a huge problem for me and my constituents. And I've had issues with law enforcement addressing those same problems where they have been involved. And animal control is not taking these animals
which
any longer.
There was an incident recently which was immediately addressed before it even got to us through the email that was sent. So,
but that's your first. That's your first desire, though, is if they can. You're not making them do that, are
you? We're asking them if they can hang on to it. And it, like I said, it really depends on the situation and the circumstances surrounding how they came about that animal and things like that. We just explained to them that this is the best thing for this animal, because if it comes in unvaccinated, then it's going to be at risk for obviously getting distemper or some other disease, and it can put the rest of the population that's in the shelter at risk. But capacity is our biggest battle, and that is going to make disease control very hard to deal with.
I mean, Aaron, we've had that problem has been in existence since the shelter's been operating, and we've had times in there where we've had almost 600, 700, 800 animals. The
distemper has been much different, though, as of recently. So this year, the majority of the shelters across the South have had an explosion of distemper, and it's, we don't really know why, and that's why PECO Foundation is doing a lot of the free vaccines and things like that, which we've done many of those events in West County, East County, and to try and fight and combat that issue.
Some of the issues when someone picks a dog up on the side of the road, they're driving to school or driving to work, they see a stray animal, they stop, they pick it up, they try to bring it to the shelter, and you refuse to take it. And then people are being threatened with a citation if they leave the animal there. And I just think that's wrong. The whole purpose of that shelter is to take these animals in. And I'd like to see the court basically tell them, if someone shows up at that shelter with an animal, you need to take it.
Okay, yeah. And if that's what you guys want, then that's what we'll do.
Well, I've had someone drive to my office with cats.
Yeah.
And they had just left y'all's location and came up there and said they were going to leave them on my porch.
Yeah, there's a lot of situations like those where they find them in other jurisdictions. And so that's a problem that we combat, too, is that, you know, they say they found it in another jurisdiction and they show up to us, but then they get upset that we tell them, you know, you're coming to the wrong place.
So don't you have a place you could take these animals that somebody just brings and keep them secluded from the other ones for you don't have that?
We don't have the space.
Not big enough.
We're taking in about 2,000 less than Harris County, and their facility is three times the size of ours, and they have twice as many staff members. I mean, and at the moment, we're down 25% in staffing just because we can't find people. We can't keep them.
Does the city of Conroe bring their animals to y'all?
They have their own shelter.
Facility. Mm-hmm. What about the city of Willis?
City of Conroe and the city of Willis are the only two jurisdictions that do their own animal services.
But everyone else brings their stuff to you.
That's correct.
Montgomery area, everywhere.
Thousands per mile.
Once we get at least the fees offset, like you said, that can help you know, towards the potential of a shelter someday. And, well, you know, yeah, in a perfect world, we would be able to have a separate three-day hold facility for these animals and then move them over to a shelter where we can get them adopted out. But the problem is, you know, we don't, and we've never operated that way, and people feel like the shelter is pushing back instead of taking these animals in. I can't tell you the number of calls we had that they claimed that animal control doesn't pick up animals anymore. Yeah. They come and they look at the animals, and that's about it.
Yeah, which I...
And, you know, we just spent a ton of money on new trucks, air conditioning trucks for, you know, to transport these animals, and...
Yeah, I looked at the numbers that they picked up over the last several years, and it's actually held pretty steady in the numbers that they've picked up.
What's the capacity of the shelter?
But as I said, with the dog runs, there's 180 of them in the shelter. There's 180 dog runs.
What's the most we've had in the shelter?
We've had upwards of 800 in there. But that's double kenneling both sides. And again, that's where we ran into disease problems.
Okay. Anything else?
How often has your advisory board been meeting?
Been doing it about every month, a little over a month and a half, 2 months.
I have a question kind of on the budget. And Amanda, can you kind of give us a quick idea of where they stand kind of year to date? And the reason I'm asking is, initially, you know, back when Tim Hollifield was running the shelter, I mean, the budget was barely $1 million, and I think now it's $3 something, give or take. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a million. It was actually a little more than that, but they were, you know, keeping revenue and things like that as well, so it was actually a lot higher than that.
But the my point in getting to that is we have budgeted the animal shelter in the past based on the fact that you had 600 animals in there.
Sure.
And so when you say you're down 25% on staff, well, you're also down, you know, 40-50% on animals. So, you know,
we're just appropriate. There's that many animals in the shelter at the moment, but we've been trying to keep up with the flow of animals. So keeping them in and out. And that's really the biggest struggle and trying to keep that balance of getting them in and out. As you know, we've done transports and things like that, which we're still doing. Those are becoming a little increasingly difficult as well, because across the country, it's, you know, the same way. They're getting animals coming in, but it's getting harder to get them out. And so we're still trying to do those avenues, and we have a whole schedule of offsite adoptions, things like that, across the year with the trailer and to try and get them out. I mean, that's the biggest thing, but we're trying to really just keep that flow moving. That's the only thing that's going to keep us going without having to euthanize more. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Do you have regular people that come on a regular basis that you're refusing service or you're turning down, turning away?
We've had issues with a couple of people that go out and specifically look for animals and trap them, and we've had issues with them bringing in owned and microchipped animals and questions around how they got those animals. So, yes.
Well, at that point, though, when you microchip them, it tells you who that dog belongs to.
Yeah.
All those folks, and they say, well, he disappeared. So that's an easy.
Yeah, and that's why they're scanning in the field so that they can try and find the owner and get them back home versus bringing them in. So they do that in the field as well.
But I'm telling you, I believe, like Commissioner Nowak, I think if someone comes up there that has finally got a dog up close enough they can put their hands on it, they're trying to do the best thing for that animal by bringing it to y'all. And for y'all to tell them to take it back home, they're not.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's...
How are you doing on volunteers?
Obviously, with volunteers, I mean, we have a lot of great volunteers. I mean, they help us tremendously. Some that come in regularly, I mean, every day, and we appreciate their help. And it's obviously up and down because people's lives change and they have other priorities and stuff like that. So it's up and down. But, I mean, we have plenty of lots of volunteers and fosters. We've been trying to drum up a lot more fosters before the summertime and puppy and kitten season comes around.
Wasn't some of that property there close to y'all that might be available to purchase?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, there's property around us, but I don't know that it's been for sale.
We've looked and looked and looked over there.
I mean,
ultimately, one day, and Judge, maybe you can help lead this as, you know, working with Nelda Blair and those groups that are interested in trying to get a nonprofit beefed up enough to build a shelter somewhere, and then but we can, with that land there, you know, we could do something else with that, help
as we continue to grow. as the county continues to grow, all these areas, you know, it's
not going to go away.
That's right.
And that's our, I would say that's probably our number one struggle right now is that building.
It's a poorly designed shelter to begin with. I mean, it wasn't.
Yep.
And there's no room at all to make some kind of holding facility or cage, nothing.
We've rearranged everything over there so many times.
Yeah. I mean, we've tried to maximize space as much as we can and utilize rooms better. I mean,
Well, I've been there, so what y'all do a very good job.
Yeah, I mean, the staff care and they're trying really hard, and that's the biggest thing. And they just, we want to be able to do more. We want to be able to have the capacity. We just don't. We just don't.
Just think it's a bad idea to turn people away when they bring something. I don't know how to work through that, but.
How are we doing on what's this problem with the incinerator? I mean, we funded that a long time ago. What's going on?
So it's in. It was getting parts and things for it. The burners that are internally inside of it, those had to come separately. We just got those last week.
Those.
So we're now waiting on the company to come out and do the install of those, and then they have to do the startup process, and then they have to get this EMS system installed and calibrated and everything and set up the state. And so that's going to take probably at least another month. At minimum.
I mean, a long time ago, you said the freezer was full, so to speak.
We've been working with Conroe and Houston Humane has been a tremendous help to us. Without both of them, we would have been in dire straits. We really would have.
Cool. To echo what Commissioner Walker was saying, you know, you guys overall do a good job over there, and you have. And I know it's a thankless job, and it's never ending. I understand that. But I would appreciate you giving us feedback a little bit more often and then let us know how it's working with accepting these animals when they're dropped off. I think it was just a week or so ago we had either an email, Evan, or somebody about some people who tried to drop off some dogs and wouldn't take them, dropped off anyway, and the dog got hit by a car and on 242. I mean, we just have to – we have to have a way to receive those animals in when they show up.
So just to be clear, are you guys wanting us to do away with appointments or just if they show up,
to
be able to take them?
I think we could do appointments, but if somebody does just drop in with an animal,
I got you.
Take the animal.
Kind of a modified version.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've probably done it before.
Yeah,
I mean,
we
at
have.
Some point.
We have.
I just think it's a poor idea to turn people away when they're in a bad spot. But do you still have the problem with the distemper?
We haven't, but that's because we've been very, very cautious about how we're going about it. And like I was saying with the single kenneling and things like that, that's what's keeping it at bay because we only have one animal per run. And so we have those barriers because it's I hate to bring it back to COVID, but it's like COVID. It's a droplet.
You're social distancing the dog.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's a droplet.
Yeah,
but you've only got wire between two kennels, so you're not.
So we don't. There's actually walls. And so that's
Each individual?
Yeah. Yeah, so, but then when you're double kenneling, then you have two dogs in there, so then you start mixing populations because one gets adopted, it goes away, then you're adding another one. So that's where those problems really come in because you're really starting to mix things. And once it starts to happen, you get one, and then it's just like wildfire. And then you're closing down rooms, trying to test the whole room, trying to figure out who has it, who's been exposed. And it's one of those diseases that can take a little bit of time for it to show up. It can be an incubation for up to 3 weeks, and you don't even know. And then they can be shedding it in that period, so you don't know, and then they're shedding it to who knows how many other pets. So vaccination status is highly important, and then obviously the capacity and keeping one per run. So, I mean, that is extremely important.
Are you still having issues with, in the past, there were, you know, citizens that were trying to, I guess, be good Samaritans, but they would go really looking for stray dogs and collecting them or you know, and you know, we don't need to augment the animal services or the, what do you call it?
Yeah,
we
have
animal
that.
Control officers don't need to. We don't need people just volunteering to run around picking because that is one of the issues that happens.
Well, you said something about trapping a while ago. Who's doing the trapping?
We've had a couple people going around doing that. And like I said, some of those ones that have come in that way too have had microchips or things like that where they ended up being owned pets. And so maybe they were in violation, but
do y'all provide the traps?
I'm sorry?
Do y'all provide the traps? That's a good thing.
Yeah, and they, we need to encourage people not to do that.
Yeah.
Let animal control do their job. You know, if it's it's dangerous for them, number one. And number two, you might, like you said, collect somebody else's dog. And people that want to go, and, you know, if they're doing that, then they should probably hold them themselves. You know? I mean, adopt the dogs.
And in those instances, too, had the animal control officer gone out, they would have scanned it in the field and known it had a microchip, and they would have been able to get it back home and address the owner with whatever violations that had occurred. You know, instead, it was brought to us, and it causes a bigger problem, and it turns into a bigger thing.
All right.
You know, excuse me, Judge, but over in Montgomery at the library down below, there's a bunch of kennels.
Yep.
I don't know how many's down there.
Yeah,
that
those
might
are
be
the
something y'all could utilize somewhere, maybe a temporary holding area or something.
Yeah, those are the old ones that we had. They're very, very small, and we've tried to keep those around. We've had a couple of issues where we've had roosters from cockfighting things that, you know, have been investigated by the Sheriff's Department or Precinct 2 that we end up utilizing those on the sally ports and things like that. That's usually because we have to keep them separate, so those work great for those. That's kind of why we're keeping those around.
Judge, I kind of liked your idea of maybe combining library services and animal services. So you get a book, you get a free dog, too.
I mean, that
I'm down for that.
Brought to
free dog, free book. Here we go.
All right. Is there anything else, gentlemen? No discussion. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate the thorough nature of what you've given to us today.
No problem.
Appreciate it very much. All right. At this time, we're going to break for executive session. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.072.
And one.
We shall return. And one.
Thank you.
And to reconvene our Commissioner's Court. Amy, if you would give us the...
And Judge, if someone is so inclined on the court to make a motion authorizing the approval of the proposed Texas statewide opioid settlement agreements and authorizing you to sign any and all related and necessary documents.
Move.
I'll second, yeah.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And that's the only action to be taken in the executive session. Are there any citizens who are here who would like to speak on virtually any topic of your choice? If I may remind you, you have 3 minutes. Yes, come forward, state your name for the record and the topic. And there's a 3 minute limit. If you do you have things to hand out to us?
Yeah, I have something in my mouth right now. So. I'll try to get around it. Sorry.
Well, while you have that in your mouth, why don't you bring those things to us? And then, no worries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Early Riley. Should I put
one? No, please not.
Oh, I got paper now. That'll work.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how this works, so.
Okay, if you would state your name.
Julie Vanderhorst.
And your concern, and then proceed. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. My concern is about a Facebook post on the an official Facebook page for the county.
Okay, that's good. Go ahead, proceed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning. Thank you for letting me speak today. I introduced my name. I'm here today to try to set the record straight in reference to a social media post that was shared on both Commissioner Riley's official commissioner page and his campaign page, which in essence was pretty much accusing me and Jennifer Eckert of relaying misinformation to our neighborhood residents. I felt ambushed by the post since I do not engage in the Facebook media platform. The problem is that my name was used on Commissioner Riley's official Facebook page, county Facebook page, and the campaign page talking about drainage problems in Westwood. Commissioner Riley inaccurately stated that the HOAs, quote, the HOAs would need to correct the drainage easements that run alongside and behind their private property, unquote. This has been repeatedly discussed with not only Commissioner Riley, but with his predecessor. In addition, current county attorney, Mr. B.D. Griffin, while serving as Westwood LOA counsel, advised in writing to the Westwood Board of Directors that, quote, the Westwood LOA has no legal duty or obligation to maintain the drainage easements. The drainage easements are not, quote, common areas, unquote, or property owned by the Westwood LOA, end quote. The plat maps for Westwood state that the drainage easements are dedicated to the public agent or entity as the only easement holder. Nowhere in the Westwood covenants does it give the LOA the authority to work on non-common areas. Our attorneys over the years have repeatedly advised the LOA that we do not have the authority to fix our drainage easements. I am currently serving on the Westwood Board of Directors. Commissioner Riley's inaccurate statements in response to a political opponent's post imply that the Westwood Board of Directors is giving inaccurate information to its landowners and to his own constituents regarding drainage problem fixes in Westwood and Sendera. For example, Commissioner Riley states on his official Facebook page post that, quote, it is up to the property owners, HOAs, to complete the work on their end before positive results can be seen after the county has performed its responsibility to the taxpayer, end quote, and, quote, Commissioner Riley will do anything in his power that he can legally do to help, end quote. As the drainage easements are used by the county to remove water from their roadways and ditches, then why, according to cited engineer's report, has the county not lowered the Ranch Lake culverts one and a half feet to change the negative flow that they cause so water can flow to the other side of the street to outflow? We also had a program that we had talked to the Army Corps of Engineers about that would bring up to $10 million into the whole area to fix the drainage issues in the whole area that was turned down by both Wimpett and the county to help us with, and we also tried to create a drainage district, which was turned down as well. Both of those programs were something that Commissioner Riley had encouraged us to pursue, and he would pursue at a meeting we had when we first formed the Drainage Committee.
Your time, that's our time.
Okay.
We appreciate it very much. Thank
right,
you for coming and sharing with us.
Thank you.
Yes. 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 If you'd come, state your name for the record, if you would please, and the topic.
Yes. Jennifer Eckhart, continuing to speak on the issue with Westwood and Sendera. To pick up where she left off, since the county has the sole right and responsibility to fix the culverts under the roadway so the water can flow, we are concerned as to why the culverts are still 1.5 feet too high. Riley has stated in person and on Facebook that public funds cannot be used on private property, but the county's attorney office advised the LOA in Westwood that help for drainage easement situations like this could be handled on a case-by-case basis by the commissioner. In addition, the Sendera POA requested that the negative drainage easement that is conveyed to the county, that they have not taken responsibility for, that is part of this drainage solution, we ask that it be conveyed over to our POA so we could fix the flooding because this drainage pathway services two neighborhoods. Instead, the county attorney spoke with our POA attorney and suggested that they send off for an AG opinion regarding the issue. And when the AG opinion came back, we discovered it actually was referencing road maintenance bonds, and we're told that it didn't address our situation. So we're confused as to why we were put off in that regard. We did discover that a previous AG opinion did state that easements and roadways did not have to be formally accepted, but accepted through mere use. And since this, again, this pathway services two neighborhoods, it would prevent some of the potential flooding. We have issues with 4 or 5 inches of rain of water going up to people's doors. We still have not received any additional help. We would appreciate the misinformation being removed from the post and a public apology to me, myself, and Julie, and so that we could present that to our neighborhoods that we are not in the wrong. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Is there anyone else who is here today who would like to share anything with us about any topic that you may have? If there is not, doesn't look like there is, then do we have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.